And so we come in our series. Remember, we're dealing with the Spirit and the Church here today with our great doctrines of Scripture. And last week we covered the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. And that was an inference or reference to the Old Testament predictions of the new covenant, and the new covenant bringing about a transformation that was an internal transformation of the heart to obey God. And Nicodemus ought to have known that. But because of the way Jesus put it, probably, in a startling way, he seems to have misinterpreted what Jesus was speaking about. And Jesus had to remind him that the Spirit of God needs to come upon a person and into a person and regenerate that person's spirit, to connect that spirit in a renewed way to God. We must be transformed by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. We must be born again. If you have not trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have not been born again. And what that means is that you are in the flesh. That's just the biblical way of saying that you are not a spiritual person. It doesn't matter if you feel spiritual. It doesn't matter if you read spiritual books or attend spiritual practices. You are not spiritual. And there's a good reason for that, because you do not have the Holy Spirit within you. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, at the end of his book, he says that they are to examine themselves to see that they're in the faith. Because there were people in that Corinthian church, and remember, he's talking to a church, not to individuals. There are people in that Corinthian church who were not born again, who did not have their sins forgiven, and therefore were still under the wrath of God. And please understand this. If you have not got Jesus Christ as your Savior, you reside under the wrath of God. Which means that the moment you die, your chance has gone. And now you turn to face God, and you do not face a loving God, you face an angry God. Angry at you for your sins, angry at you for your rejection of his crucified and risen Son. That's all positive, isn't it? That's a positive start to a message today. Actually, it is a positive start, because, you know, what I've just elucidated there is the way of life, the way of connection to God, the way of eternal joy and happiness. But you've got to go to Jesus. Amen. Do you see? You must be born again. So how am I going to cap that? Well, the doctrine moves on. It moves on from being born again, from having your sins forgiven, and receiving and being transformed by the Holy Spirit, who is given as the scripture says, as a down payment within you. You still struggle with the flesh, and we're going to look at that. But today, what this passage in Romans 8 concerns is the fact that the principal difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that the Christian is a spiritual person. They are, as Paul puts it, in the spirit. Whereas an unsaved person is in the flesh. So please understand that although Paul will use the terminology of spirit and flesh for the Christian, later on in other passages of Scripture, and we certainly will be examining those passages, that today what his subject is about is the difference of a Christian from a non-Christian. And that's what I want to investigate today. Look at our passage again in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. I'm going to read it and then comment on it. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is not in you, the body is dead because of sin. I'm sorry, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, I know there's a lot in there. This is the book of Romans, after all. This is heavy stuff. And I'll try to explain this passage to you as we go through. But the key thing I hope that you see from that reading is that there is a contrast between a person who has received the Holy Spirit and a person who has not. Between a person who is carnally minded and a person who is spiritually minded. And you might think, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. I've trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But I'm not always spiritually minded. Sometimes I find myself being pretty carnally minded. That's okay. Paul's already dealt with that in chapter 7. In chapter 7, he says that there are two laws that are principles that are within him. One to obey God, one to disobey God and do their own thing. But with the mind, he makes a decision always to do what God wants him to do, to follow the will of God. The flesh is going to do what the flesh does, but it has to be under the control of the mind, do you see? But that principle of sin is still in the Christian. Yes, we all recognize it. We all know it. So you're not always, as a Christian, going to be walking in the Spirit. You're going to have fleshly, you're going to have carnal thoughts. Of course you are. But there has been a change in you. That change being the new birth. That ongoing ability to walk with God under the Word of God. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You can yield to the Spirit. I know it's hard work. We're going to deal with it. Don't worry. Not in this sermon, but in other sermons. We're going to talk about that. But you can do that. The unsaved person can't do that. The unsaved person cannot walk in the Spirit because they do not have the Holy Spirit. They have not been born again. They just have their flesh, and that flesh will always think in an ungodly way. Even if, and what I mean by ungodly here, is just not the way God wants you to be. God wants you to be connected to him. He wants you to trust in the way of salvation that he's provided. He wants you to walk in obedience to his word. That's not something an unsaved person does. Or can do. It puts it in very basic terms here in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. To be somebody who is not a Christian, who is not born again, who has not got their sins forgiven, and in whom the Holy Spirit does not dwell, is to be in death, even as you live. You are not connected to the eternal life of God. You are not connected to the eternal joy and holiness and love of God. You are connected to death. And to death you will go. Separation from God eternally. To be carnally minded is death. And then drop down to verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity, that's a strong word. Enmity means that, you know, no matter what you hear about God, you suspect it, you're against it, you don't like what you hear about God. You don't want God. It's like, you know, have you ever been wronged by a person and it hurt, it cut deep? And then you have somebody comes along and says to you, you know, that person, they're such a nice person. And you think, yeah, right. You've got enmity against them. You can't hear anything good about them. You've painted them all one color. And that's how the unsaved mind is to God. You've painted him black, as it were. You've painted him as somebody you don't need. You can be independent of. You don't want to obey. You don't need his righteousness. You don't want him, thank you very much. In fact, you're not even sure he exists. Maybe you're pretty sure, even though you haven't given it much thought, that he doesn't exist. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. In order to be subject to the law of God, in order to follow the word of God, you have to be changed by God. And so these verses speak of a person who has not come to that place where they've been convicted of their sins. They have not understood the standards of God, the holiness of God, the things that God requires of them as individual human beings. They think in terms of, the crowd mentality. Their defense is to run into the crowd of unbelievers and feel safe there. Those unbelievers, because they, after all, they don't believe in God. They don't trust God. They think they're okay. They put RIP on the gravestones of their loved ones. They hope that there's something good afterwards, but they don't give much thought to it. Some of them are even more stoical than that, and they say, when you're dead, and that's it. And if that's the case, why worry about these things? And all the time, they don't realize they're being carnally minded. They're not thinking spiritually. They're not thinking as they should think. They are children of death. In chapter 2 of his epistle, James, I love James because he's a real straight shooter. And he says in 2:10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all." You say, what's that got to do with a carnally minded person? Well, a carnally minded person needs to understand that God requires that you keep his law. If you're going to get to heaven, that you keep his law 100%. And I don't mean 100% from now on, as if that was possible anyway. What I mean is 100% from the time that you were born, all the way through to the time you will die. And if you can do that 100% and not mess up once, not covet once, not lust once, not be angry without a cause once, not forget about God once, well, God will welcome you with open arms at the end of your life. But you know what? The reality is you're carnally minded. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God. You don't want God. That's the truth about you. So any attempts at thinking that at the end of your life you'll just stand before God and you kind of lean against the gates of heaven with your legs crossed and tell God how good you are and that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you're in for a rude awakening. Those bad deeds, which, by the way, far outweigh your good deeds, will bring you down to death. Well, I said this is a contrast here. Verse 5 tells us this. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, there's the difference. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. How do you receive the Spirit of God? How do you have the Spirit of God in you? You need the new birth. You must be born again. And you're born again by trusting that you are a bankrupt sinner. And that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, took your penalty upon himself, and that he rose again defeating death. You believe that. You trust that. That's the only way that you get forgiveness by going to the cross. You get life through the resurrection. You believe that. And the Holy Spirit is given to you as a gift when you do that. And remains in you. And because the Holy Spirit remains in you, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but because the Holy Spirit remains in you, one day, not just your spirit will be connected to God, but your body will be transformed so that you will be truly a citizen of heaven. But he does say, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Did you notice there that in verse 9, he says the Spirit of God and he says the Spirit of Christ? What's he doing there? Is he getting things confused in his mind? No, what he's telling you is that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. That to speak of God and to speak of Christ is to speak of the same thing. That the Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of Christ because Christ is God. And so, those in the flesh cannot please God. You understand that? Those who do not have the new birth, those who have not trusted Jesus, there are many ways to say this, but those who have not been forgiven and given the Holy Spirit cannot please God. That might be you this morning. You've come to church. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. You've come to church, but there's an incongruity about you coming to church, actually. Because church is for people who have trusted Jesus and recognize what they're coming to church for. But you, who are very welcome, you're in church, but you are not someone that God counts as their son or their daughter. And I urge you to recognize that you can't please God as you are, and I urge you to trust Jesus as your Savior. The second point was that those who have trusted Christ as their Savior are in the Spirit. And this is what Paul says in verse 9. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God resides in you. Now, Paul here is not talking about consecrated living. He's just talking about what you are as a human being. You are a spiritual person if you've trusted Jesus Christ, because you have the Spirit of God in you and because your spirit's been regenerated. In verse 10, Paul says this: if Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What's he talking about there? What do you mean the body's dead? At the end of this service, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get something to eat, I'm going to get on with my day. I'm alive. Oh yes, but he's not talking in those terms, you see. The argument of Romans is that we all are sinners. That's the first three chapters of Romans. We all are sinners. We need grace. God's unmerited blessing upon us. Despite what we are, we need mercy and grace, and that is provided in the gospel. But we struggle still when we're saved. We struggle with the flesh. We're not perfected. We still feel sin. And so Paul deals with that in chapters 6 and 7. Chapter 5 dealing with the fact that we've been taken out of Adam and put in Christ. And now in chapter 8, he introduces the Holy Spirit into his argument. And the Holy Spirit is the difference between life and death. Because death, in his argument here, when he says that the body is dead because of sin, means simply this: that what God sees in justification is not the yearnings of this material thing, which is always connected to the world, always leads us astray, always gets us into trouble, always makes us, through our eyes or through our touch or through our ears, particularly if we're not in the right places, always connects us with evil. That body, this thing here, has been judged at the cross. It is reckoned by God to be dead and of no use. And he considers us to be alive in our spirits, regenerated by God. This body's going to catch up one day. The body's going to be changed, but as it is, the body is connected to the world, connected to sin. And so, if Christ is in us, the body is dead, judgmentally, judicially, because of sin, because it sins. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is within us, is life. We are connected to the life of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? We are connected to that resurrection of Christ. Because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Yours? No. Absolutely not. the righteousness of Christ himself. Is this beginning to make sense? I hope that we understand that we need righteousness and we don't have it. So we need it from somewhere else. And there is another way to get it. There is a somewhere else. It's Jesus. So the difference between and the contrast between a spiritual person and a fleshly or carnal person is that a carnal person, their body is connected to their spirit, as it were, and they are both judged, both spirit and body judged and condemned. Whereas in the gospel, a spiritual person, somebody who has been born again, their body is reckoned to be out of the problem, out of the question. Do you see? It's been already rendered dead in God's judgment. And it's how we live in compliance with the Spirit. What we train our minds on, what we train our hearts on, that's the thing that determines who we really are, whether we're spiritual or not. In Romans 6:7, Paul says, he who has died has been freed from sin. He's not talking about somebody who's already kicked the bucket. He's talking about somebody who has trusted Christ and therefore is reckoned dead in their old life and is now reckoned connected to God in their new life. They're freed from sin because sin was judged at the cross. So our fourth point leads on from that, because what about the body? What about these bodies that cause us so much trouble? And the world that we live in, the world of TV, the world of movies, the world of internet, the world of fashion, or not fashion, as it sometimes is. The world where you see things and you can't unsee them sometimes. The world of the flesh. What about the body? Well, Paul deals with that in verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You know, a mortal body is one that's going to die. Yes? An immortal one is one that doesn't die. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, as we will see further on in this series, says that our bodies will be changed from mortal bodies to immortal bodies. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit has not just been given to you as a kind of token. The Holy Spirit has been given to you to ensure that the salvation that was wrought in you when you trusted Jesus Christ will be completed and perfected when Jesus returns. You will be like him in his resurrected state. Your bodies will no longer be drawn to sin. You will no longer feel the pangs of the curse. Your spirits will be completely cleansed and connected to this immortal resurrected body that God will give you through the Spirit who already dwells in you today. That's incredibly good news. Whatever is afflicting you today, whatever is afflicting our brothers and sisters in the Lord, That's all going to be changed. For our light affliction, Paul says, which is but for a moment, it doesn't seem like a moment, it's but for a moment, works in us a far greater hope that ends in eternal glory. What's the difference, the final difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? The Christian is a spiritual person because they have the Holy Spirit within them and they are connected to Christ. An unsaved person does not have the Spirit of God within them and their spirits are connected to Adam, and that's not a good person to be connected to. But finally, the contrast is where we end up and what we end up as. Because God has provided a way for you to end up in his eternal kingdom. And that kingdom, as I've said often before, is so much more wonderful than we can ever imagine. All we know is what we can see and what we're used to here. Think of something that is utterly transformative, utterly bereft of sin and suffering and pain and anger and disappointment and unfairness. No, you can't really think of a place like that. You can envisage it somewhat, but you can't know what it's like experientially, but you will. That's the kingdom of God. That's the place that God lives, and he wants you to live there too, eternally. If you have the Holy Spirit within you because you've trusted Jesus, that's where you're destined to be. What about if you have not trusted Jesus? The story for you is not very happy. The story for you is that you will be condemned by the God who tried to save you. You'll be condemned for rejecting the gospel. And you will go to a place of misery. A place far worse than where you are now. D.R. Moody once said, and I think it's a good saying, that the most of hell that a saint will see is here on earth. But the most of heaven that a sinner will see is here on earth. Are you a spiritual person? Have you the Holy Spirit residing in you? Come on. Answer that as if God asked it, not me. Because you can fool me. You can tell me, oh, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know what you're talking about. And I'll say, oh, that's so wonderful. You could be lying to me through your teeth. But God sees you. Be honest with him and come to him. And be able, by the end of this day, to answer the question, yes, I'm a spiritual person because I have the Holy Spirit within me. And I have the hope of eternal life within me. And I have forgiveness of sins already credited to me. Because I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for taking us out of Adam, out of who we are, out of sin, out of death. Giving us the new birth, giving us the Holy Spirit, connected now to your life, far from perfect, but acknowledging that all our hope is within you and our hope is secure because of you. I pray, Lord, that this will encourage us through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.